God, you give us the kingdom out of great love. Strengthen our faith and call us to action in your divine mission through the sharing of your word and the meditation of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. There's nothing quite like the gift of the unstructured, lazy summer days. How many of you have been enjoying some lazy summer days? Good. Good stuff. A time to just be. A time of quiet that we all need. Now, I'm very much looking forward to the next few weeks of holidays to rest and to recharge. I have a list of books to read. Philip lent me a great one that I'm going to begin with. It's a gift. I love lazy summer days. It's a gift to wake up without an alarm, to have coffee on my deck with Thomas, and to spend the days that have nothing pre-planned except for the work of pre-planning our next meal, and that work usually happens at your current meal. Have you noticed that? That happens to us. We might take little road trips to visit friends and to explore some of the treasures of this amazing island. And of course, as we drive, we listen to summer music. Summer music like Bob Marley, that's one of my favorites. That's some good summer music. Now, one song in particular, Three Little Birds, sums up the summer days for me. You know which one I'm talking about? Yeah? The one that goes, "Don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing's gonna be all right." You know that one? It's a reggae paraphrase for today's gospel in Luke, I think. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, I'm not suggesting a fall Bible study on the gospel according to Bob Marley, unless one of you wants to lead that. It's fine with me. But summer music and lazy summer days have a way of putting things back into perspective about what is and but about what is not important in our lives, about where our treasure lies. But it has to be said, it can be a time where we get a little break from the stresses and worries of regularly scheduled life. Everyone has stresses of daily life. We know that. And those stresses are always the things that seem to come wrapped up in the blessings of our lives. Now, for my family, my son is in his first co-op placement. He's enjoying it, but that's also stressful. He's finishing off his degree. The kids have summer jobs, choosing next semester's courses, getting ready for a final year of high school, doctor's appointments, test results, travel for work, taking care of friends, keeping up with family, and planning for fall ministry. There are a lot of things that I could get caught up in and worry about, even though these are some of the very things that I can add to the long list of blessings in my life. But it's hard not to get wrapped up in fear sometimes. And fear can manifest itself in many, many tricky ways that simply get in the way of all that God wants for us, confining us, making us tight and restricted. But into those fears, and across centuries of human experience, Jesus' teachings today offer a word of comfort to quiet the worry, and to help us remember something important. Now, maybe these words from the Gospel of Luke sound like music to your ears, as it does to mine. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." These are freeing and profound words that can mean everything to our lives when we let it. Now, undoubtedly, Jesus wanted these words and his assurance to sink deeply into the hearts of the disciples then too, because Luke's gospel in chapter 12 mentions God's promise several times before we even get to verse 32. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and body more than clothing. And do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, strive for God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. God is the giver of all good things, and we gratefully receive all that we need from God. But there is something obvious in this relationship that we tend to forget from time to time. And that is that God is God, and we are not God. That God has made promises, but it is hard to relax into those promises sometimes. It's hard not to make the mistake of our worry, to mistake our worry as some strange effort that we're doing our part to help things along. Have you ever done that? Thought that your worry was actually helping things along? As if that could work. It's as if we sometimes insist that we are God, that all of God's promises are up to us to make happen. But that could not be further from the truth. It isn't uncommon in this time that we live to think that the more we have, the more we consume, the more we collect, the harder we work and cling to our efforts of survival, the better chance that we have at life. It's the grand myth of capitalism that is and has always been in direct opposition of God's kingdom. And deep down, I think we know that that is a farce. All of our education and charm, pride, wealth, busy schedules, high morals, and meticulous, heartfelt work cannot save us from the inevitability of failure or humiliation, loss, and even death. And this is what we're afraid of. Lies about our real worth. That's what causes us worry. The lies that we can believe about our value can be frightening and debilitating. And so we cling to our own efforts like they are treasures that are life-giving when we know that they're not the things that offer true life and establish our true value. These are the things that can trip us up and make us forget. And so it isn't by coincidence that Luke's gospel mentions so many times what Jesus is reminding of us and reminding of them now and then. Where are our hearts? And where is our treasure? Would we dare to dream of a life in this world where fear doesn't get in the way of this wonderful inheritance from God? I'd like to hope so. Now, speaking of summer reading, about a year ago, I read this book called Sabbath, Finding Rest and Renewal and Delight in Our Busy Lives. I think I read it just before I went on holidays one year. It's written by the Reverend Wayne Mueller. Now, in this book, I was struck by a particular story about the human condition, and particularly around fear. Elaine, a well-respected therapist, came to me for counseling. As a woman from an abusive family, she had for many years struggled, grown, and overcome great sorrow. Now she was very strong. She was proud of what she had become. And while she achieved professional success, she felt it was now time to explore her inner landscape. The more subtle movements of her spiritual life. And I asked her, and she asked if I would be her spiritual director. In spite of her significant career accomplishments, Elaine experienced a nagging emptiness. For some people, emptiness can feel fertile and spacious, alive with possibilities as a womb is ripe for the child to come. But others feel emptiness as an ache, a void, something painful in need of being filled. And when we are empty, we feel unhealed. And when we are unhealed, we can feel unworthy. I sensed Elaine was uncomfortable and afraid of her emptiness. "Tell me about your sense of worth," I said. She began recounting her triumphs and her successes and her growing sense of personal and professional self-esteem, and I stopped her. "I'm not speaking about your self-esteem, which I'm sure is justifiably strong considering all you've done in your life. I'm asking you about the quiet times, the nights before sleep, the silent moments of the day when you're done, when you're not a successful professional." Now, in that moment, as Pastor Wayne was counseling Elaine, he suddenly thinks about Holy Communion. He suddenly thinks about the words that we hear every Sunday. "This is my body, broken for you." And so he shares this thought that has just popped into his mind with Elaine. "What do you think," he asked her, "to remember the words that we hear every week at communion? This is my body, given for you. Now, tell me about your worth." And unexpectedly, she wept. Silent, sobbing tears for a long time. She looked at him surprised, as if he had both betrayed her and loved her at the same time. And she didn't know what it was, and it frightened her a little. This is one of our fears of quiet. If we stop and listen, we will hear this emptiness. If we worry we are not good or whole inside, we will be reluctant to stop and rest. Afraid we'll find a lurking emptiness, a terrible aching void with nothing to fill it, as if it will corrode and destroy us like some horrible, insatiable monster. If we are terrified of what we will find in rest, we will refuse to look up from our work, refuse to stop moving. We will fill in all the blanks on our calendar with tasks and accomplishments, with errands, with things to be done, things to buy and consume, anything to fill the time, the empty spaces, false treasures. But this emptiness has nothing at all to do with the value of our worth. All life has emptiness at its core. It is the quiet, hollow reed through which the wind of God blows and makes the music that is our life. Without that emptiness, we are clogged and unable to give birth to music, love, or kindness. All creation springs from emptiness. For in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Would we dare to dream of our lives in this world without any worry or without any fear? Would we dare to believe that we really are so beloved of God? Because that is what God offers. That is precisely what God offers when Jesus says, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Fertile and spacious, life alive with possibility in the mission of God's kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. First, before we can even ask for it, before we can ever do anything at all to earn or deserve it, God loves us first with this gift of divine free grace through the waters of our baptism. And there isn't anything that we can do to earn this gift. And the good news is that there isn't anything that we can do to lose this gift either. There is nothing to fear. It is God's ancient and eternal promise to us, because guess what? We, all of us, All of life is God's treasure, where God places God's heart. And trusting in this, we shake loose of those bonds of fear, and we are free in Christ, free from fear, and freed for God's mission of bringing about the kingdom here and now on earth, in all the ways that birth miraculous life, all of those ways. So, like the slaves in the parable in the Gospel of Luke today, the slaves that are fed by the master, let us be positioned to be delightfully surprised. Let us be positioned to be surprised. So come forward today at this table here at St. Mary's and remember something important. This is the body and the blood of Christ given for you to strengthen us, to fearlessly join with one another and with the world in all of the wonderful possibilities of God's eternal kingdom. And it is God's good pleasure to do so. Amen.